This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
As long as they kill us and go to Wendy's and have a burger and go to sleep, they're going to keep killing us. But when we die and they die, we'll tear this goddamn country up.
Fighting for Idaho.
The lessons are really basic. Don't rob a convenience store. Don't fight a policeman when he stops you and try to take his gun. And when he yells at you to stop with his gun drawn, just stop.
Fighting for you.
Don't close your eyes. Focus, focus, focus.
Boise's Mr. Right.
You're the best, man.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
When the president was getting some blowback from the audience in Chicago during his immigration remarks, at one point he said, "I just took action to change the law." Did the president misspeak in a moment of passion to try to calm the crowd, or does he fundamentally, and do you fundamentally believe that he has taken action to change the law?
I think he was speaking colloquially, that what he has put in place, meaning that obviously, meaning that that it's the responsibility of the United States Congress to pass laws. And it's the responsibility of the executive branch to implement and enforce them. I guess my point is,
he says, "I just took action to change the law."
Well, I think the impact of the law certainly has been changed on in terms of the way that it affects, millions of people who are in this country. And I think that's what the president was alluding to. So if there, if there are people
millions of people that are in the country illegally. Good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. That is Josh Earnest, Obama's third press secretary, saying, "Oh, don't believe the president. He's just being that good old President Obama that we love, where he, says one thing and does another. Kind of like you can keep your doctor, you can keep your health plan if you want, right? Too good to be true." Well, here we are once again on a Wednesday morning. Going to be wet. Larry Gabbert will be along with the weather. We'll give you traffic with Dave Burnett and issues with you and me, none bigger than this issue in Middleton, where we have a kid who's been suspended because he brought a toy gun to school. From Channel 7, authorities in Canyon County issued a warning to parents and students today after a Middleton student brought a toy gun into school via the bus. The Canyon County Sheriff's Office is commending a second grader who took the proper steps to alert teachers after he saw another student carrying what appeared to be a handgun while riding the bus to school. Teachers called the sheriff's office. They put down two Middleton schools on security holds. A short time later, the deputies found the toy gun at Middleton Heights Elementary School and it determined it was the same gun on the bus. They had 18 officers out at the schools this morning searching for the potential handgun. Now, was this overreaction or the right move? 580-5436. With us, our great friend Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Me, always living the dream and forget sports. I think the real drama is, and much more relevant to our safety and security, are the Second Amendment issues, which you champion. So let's get right to it. Your initial thoughts on this.
Oh, I had a lot of initial thoughts. Some of them probably can't be said on the air, but, I live out here in Middleton, so this, hits right home for us. My kids' elementary school was not locked down as part of that whole issue. Definitely an overreaction. And what I'll say, though, is that I don't mind a police officer trying to figure out what exactly is going on. There's no issues with that because, some kid could have brought a real gun to school. But once they figured out that, hey, this is just a toy gun, that's where it needs to end. Hey, kid, don't bring your toy gun to school. No big deal. It's the suspension part that we take issue with considerably because it's not just any toy that you bring and you get suspended. They specifically target weapons, fake knives or fake guns or whatever. And that goes along with what Eric Holder's been trying to do, which is help brainwash our kids into just thinking about guns differently. And this is exactly what these type of policies will do. Because now this kid's going, well, golly, man, these fake guns are even bad, so I can't even have a fake gun. And that's what he'll grow up thinking. And so, part of me wanted to say we should suspend the kid who thought it was a real gun when the orange cap is already on the tip.
Right.
I mean, maybe he should be suspended for not knowing the difference. I mean, good grief.
I just wonder, if you take a look at this, Greg, people are going to say, hey, better safe than sorry.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with a couple police officers going, finding the kid, and making sure it's not real. In fact, most gun owners I've talked to don't have an issue with that. I don't know that you need, you know, 20 cops and locking down schools and everything else. That might be a little much, but the point I'm trying to drive home to people is that's fine. If you react, you make sure it's not real. Once you figure it out, it's not real, ask the kid not to bring it again, and then leave it at that. You don't have to suspend him. And that's what our group's going to try and make a change here in Idaho to those school policies. We've been discussing it at length for some time, and we weren't sure if we were going to try and run with making a change this session. But with this story, I think we definitely have to go forward with trying to get rid of these, I guess you can call them zero intelligence policies.
You mean zero tolerance.
And tolerance, intelligence, either way, there's zero of it when it comes to these policies. And it's got to change, Kevin. We can't keep doing this to kids who bring a toy gun, or they form their hands in the shape of a gun, or they chew a Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun. We've got to make sure the kids aren't getting suspended just for using their imagination, for playing cops and robbers at school, or whatever the case may be. Heck, we used to bring real guns to school.
Well, don't tell anybody. They'll probably bust you for that.
Yeah, I know, right? So, and it's ridiculous because I'm afraid, you know, my kid, he doesn't always listen to me, Kevin. I don't know if you know that, but kids don't always listen to their parents. And he may sneak a gun into – my kid did take a blue dart gun – one of those foam dart guns to school one day. He left it in his backpack the entire day. Came home, and I found out he had it in there. And I was going, oh, my gosh, you know, my kid's going to end up on the news for getting suspended. And this was, you know, 3 or 4 months ago. So it can happen to anybody's kid. And, you know, I hear people blaming the parents, so the parents need to check his backpack. Well, kids are smart. They will get that stuff in there if they want to. So it's not about the parents making sure they check their kid's backpack. It's about these ridiculous school policies.
And people, if people are interested in joining your group, Greg, what can they do?
Then go to idahosaa.org, and the link to our Facebook page is on there, and they can become an official member and help us support the cause here in the state of Idaho and strengthening our Second Amendment rights.
Greg, keep your powder dry. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, our great friend Greg Pruitt, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. What say you? 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's go to the phones. We go to Ron Paul Jim. Should this kid have been suspended? Did we need 18 police officers at the school? Good morning.
No and no. And just to agree with the last two callers, this is part of controlling the masses through an oversensitivity, overreaction, so that these people grow up fearing guns of all kinds, and this is designed to strip us of our Second Amendment. You know, they're going to condition the children so the next generation will be in fear of firearms and will think that everything about them is dangerous. Meanwhile, cops are shooting people, you know, and not being held accountable for their actions because they didn't mean to shoot them, and, you know, they can't be held accountable for, you know, if they didn't intend to shoot them, even though they shot them and killed them and had their gun drawn pointing at them. And I said yesterday about that I think he was 12 years old playing Xbox or whatever and had a game controller in his hand when he opened the door and the cop shot him. You know, this is worth protesting over. There is other ones similar to this that don't get any mainstream coverage. Instead, they want to divide us. They want to divide the masses. They want us to turn against each other so that the government can advance their agenda when all of us should be united against the government and its power grab.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you because
we need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
That was Eric Holder in the mid-90s.
Yep. it's coming to fruition.
Well, and let's go back to the campus carry controversy at BSU, where you had people going, "I'm safe. I don't really. I can call the police. They can get there in 2 seconds."
Man, no, they can't.
No, you're exactly right.
You know, that's the thing is that the fear of anyone to be armed is a neutralizing fear that keeps people who mean to do harm not willing to take the risk because they could get hurt themselves.
Right. And again, you have the propaganda that's permeated.
I am Brian Thom. I'm the bishop of the Episcopal Church in Idaho. I rise in opposition to this bill, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you just wonder, when you take a look at this, how are you going to cut through the clutter? Because you're going to have a generation, the largest generation, the millennials, that, hey, we don't need guns. Guns are dangerous.
Yeah, you know, but and that's why they can't hold the police accountable for when they shoot and kill somebody, because guns are dangerous. It was the gun's fault. You know, they're like, you know, this is, you know, it can't be the police officer's fault for being trigger happy. You know, they find a way to excuse the actions of the law enforcement, which is government.
And we see that all the time. Ron Paul, Jim, thank you for the call.
We think it's a bad law. We think it's a bad mix. We don't think it's necessary, given the climates that we have on our college campuses. We're supported by the college leaders who unanimously agree that weapons should not be carried on campus.
There you have it, Chief Masterson, concerning campus carry. But it does come down to this at 580-5436. If this were your kid, would you want him suspended for bringing a toy gun to school? Jennifer, good morning. You're with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for covering this. You know, I want to say two things. First off, was this child suspended for breaking a rule that did not exist?
Good point.
Suspension's a pretty heavy penalty, and usually it's for breaking a rule that one's aware of. So if his kid was suspended for breaking a rule that wasn't there, the school needs to be held accountable. However, secondarily, wouldn't it be nice if all the campus killings we've had over the last decade, if somebody had spotted those guns and reported them?
That would have been great.
It would have.
We
have to assume he didn't see the orange tip. I mean, unless he was being vindictive and trying to get his peer in trouble, in which case they need to, sincerely investigate that. Kids can be mean. Kids can be like, ha, 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 I'm going to say somebody has a gun and get him in trouble.
Now, wait a minute, Jennifer. At 580-KIDO, you're saying one kid would, you know, instead of being concerned, he might have wanted to just get his buddy in trouble?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
You can do that. Come on, you know that.
I thought he was, you know, he was just there trying to look out for everybody.
Well, that's possible, but it'd be nice if they interviewed him carefully before suspending another child and say, hey, listen.
Now, wait a minute.
You're really scared if you saw the orange tip. You know, you're
interview or interrogate?
Of course I'm not for interrogating, but a kid needs to be questioned what his motive was.
Now, let me hit you with this one. You're a bright young lady. What happens if it's the other way? Better safe than sorry, which is probably the prevailing argument of everybody except the listeners of this program.
No, I agree with the better safe than sorry. I agree. If you think someone has a gun and they're in a public place and they're looking like they, you know, may intend to use it, that would prevent so many campus killings if they were ever spotted. It would be wonderful if we could prevent campus killings. But secondarily, before a kid gets in trouble for something that he did innocently, which was not against the rules, they should be looking at which kid to get in trouble. I've learned kids to tell other kids that they were tell teaching staff that child was stealing or that child was beating them. Kids, you know, they say funny stuff to pay back a peer, to be vindictive. So I certainly don't think the young man should have been suspended unless there was a very clearly stated existing rule, no toy guns in school.
Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Can I say one more thing?
Well, might as well.
Are you familiar with the news story from England where police stabbed to death a pit bull?
No.
So apparently guns aren't the only thing that kills people. People kill people.
Good point. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Jennifer there. 580-5436, coming up, we'll hear more. A very good point by her. Is there a rule against bringing toy guns to school? 580-5436, time for traffic.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
725, Kevin Miller in the morning. Blessed to be a part of your day. Great local issue, unless you're the parent of the kid that got suspended in elementary school. Never mind the stigma this young man is going to have for bringing a toy gun to school. Did the authorities in Middleton overreact? 580-5436. We go to Patriot Ray. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, I think that we're overreacting in a way too many times anymore. I mean, a kid chews a piece of bread that looked like a gun. You get a kid that points a finger and says, bang, bang, and they're bad, and they get suspended. And now you got a kid with a toy gun. Okay, they found the gun. They found what was going on. You tell the kid not to bring the gun back. You tell him not to do this. This is wrong. And you make a rule in the school that you don't bring any toy guns or any kind of what looks like a gun. But to indoctrinate our kids where they have a fear about everything is wrong. It's just totally wrong. We're making a society, and that's what Eric Holder and the president really want. And now we've got the UN stepping in on Ferguson saying that we need to get rid of guns. America needs to be better and safer and get rid of the guns. I mean, this is ridiculous. UN, get out of our business. The United States, get out of the UN. Quit supporting them. They don't support us. So, yeah, have a great day, Kevin.
Patriot Ray, God bless you. Thank you for the call. We go to Tyler in Star, Idaho. Good morning, Tyler.
Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Not bad. And you?
Doing great. Thank you. You know, I do believe there was or there is an overreaction, but it didn't really take place in the events that happened yesterday. I think it was certainly the right decision of the kid to report the fact that he thought he saw a gun. I think it was the right decision by the administrative staff to report it to the police and the police to take it to the utmost, you know, to treat it as a dangerous situation. You know, we're really fortunate that that wasn't an actual handgun. If it were and they did not react, we would be, you know, calling for heads of the entire school district, of the police force. We would be overreacting in an entirely different way. Now, we're fortunate that it was a toy gun, and the school held the kid accountable, because the kids do know that they shouldn't bring a toy gun to school. You know, I have a first grader, and I asked him last night, would you ever take a toy gun to school? And he said, no, absolutely not. I said, well, why not? He said, well, it's school. Guns don't belong in school. I'm pro-gun. I hunt. I take my kids hunting. I teach them gun safety. I teach them gun responsibility. And that's just simple. There's no place for weapons in school, even if it's a fake weapon.
So what about the suspension of the kid?
I agree. I'm sure the kid knew that that wasn't wrong. He wouldn't have been hiding it in his backpack. He wouldn't have showed a buddy to kind of show that he brought it. And he's being held accountable, and the school's got to take it seriously. You know, the overreaction is in all the coverage of it. The overreaction is trying to politicize this and turn it into an anti-gun battle, or trying to turn it into, you know, United Nations, or relating it back to Ferguson. I mean, this is a toy gun issue in Middleton, Idaho, that was dealt with appropriately. And the only way the kid's going to get a stigma for being suspended is because of all the continued coverage of it. Otherwise, it'd be a non-issue.
Tyler, thank you for the call.
You bet.
All right. To TPB with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
Living the dream.
Sounds like you're shooting the place up down there.
Ah, yuck, 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 yuck.
You know, as Greg Pruitt said, you know, he really hit the nail on the head earlier. It's an overreaction by the police and a complete overreaction by the school. You know, if there's a zero tolerance policy and a required suspension, it should be made public and put in the handbook. You know, if it's not, then we don't really need to suspend these kids. If everybody knew that there was such a rule, there would be a huge public outcry. You know, Idahoans are used to seeing guns and hunting with them. It's been part of our heritage. We should teach the kids responsibility with firearms and make sure we teach them where it is and where it isn't appropriate to take a gun. But I think you and I can remember bringing guns to school for show and tell. You know, there is no reason to punish a child in the way they did for doing what he did. And I think that they have to use a little bit of restraint. What they're doing, suspending a kid, is to reinforce the liberal agenda that guns are bad. And this is an easy way for them to do it, with a severe punishment, so all the other kids can see what happens if you bring a gun to school. Actually, I think maybe then if we take a good hard look at it, the only place we've had any mass killings have been in gun-free zones. And I still would love to see the teachers have enhanced permits and be able to carry guns on school grounds for the protection of the kids if we don't have armed guards there. You know, we need to change some school policies, and this kind of brings it right to the forefront. It gives us an opportunity to do that. Otherwise, the next thing we'll be doing is issuing toy gun permits for the kids so they can carry them.
TPB, thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Coming up, more talk on the Middleton issue. Jerry, if you want to hang on. Oh, my friend Jerry. Yes, hang on, Jerry. Our good friend from Jerry via Raleigh, North Carolina. And Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Guys, hang on for a minute. We're going to go to Fox News Radio's Evan Brown with possibly the first step in America going back to Mars. It's called Orion. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So you take a look at this Orion spacecraft getting ready to roll. What does this mean?
Well, this is the first test flight of NASA's next-generation spacecraft, the taxpayer-operated spacecraft that is going to be a vehicle of exploration. It will take humans beyond Earth orbit to an asteroid and possibly Mars by the 2030s. And so this will be its test flight tomorrow. Won't be anybody on it, but it'll be a chance for the engineers to see how well it actually flies and if it needs any fixing or tweaking.
Evan, what's the mood there when you think about the return of NASA, the return of America to space? I know we haven't left because of the International Space Station, but this first step to Mars.
Well, it certainly has a lot of people excited. There have been people who have been working on this for well over a decade. The original plans for this craft, which is called Orion, were first developed during the Bush 43 administration. And so it's been under design and construction for quite a long time. So to see it actually lift off tomorrow morning at 7:05 local time from the Kennedy Space Center, from the same launch pad as one of the shuttle pads that used to be used, has certainly a lot of people excited and hopeful that this will allow NASA to get back to the business of actually exploring space and going places where we haven't been before.
Even folks like myself that are passive admirers of the space industry wonder just how big this Delta IV heavy rocket is.
It's pretty big. You know, the Delta IV Heavy is part of the Delta Design family of rockets, which have been in use for a long time. This is may or may not be the actual final rocket that's used for this craft. But what is really being tested out isn't really the Delta IV. It's the Orion craft, which is what will carry people and cargo beyond Earth orbit. It is not like a space shuttle, which looked very much like an airplane with wings and a tail rudder and whatnot. This is much more, in terms of concept, very similar to the Apollo craft, a cone capsule where people fit inside. In this case, it's much, much bigger than the Apollo crafts and is designed to be in space a lot longer, but it can fit up to six people or a combination of people and cargo.
Evan, I know there's a concern across the country and here at 580KIDO that just the wear and tear on the body that would have that would it would take to go to space. And I know NASA has done a lot of research on that, but you probably really don't know until you've been there quite a long time.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we have the space station. It's because one of the constant experiments that goes on the space station is to see how well the human body does in space for long durations. Most people go to the space station, they say stay about 3 months. Or there have been people who have stayed 6 months, and we're getting ready to send two people, an American and a Russian, to stay up there for a continuous year. To see how well their bodies do. The space program has spawned a pharmaceutical industry push to develop medications that preserve bone mass because bone mass does begin to deteriorate in space due to the lack of gravity and then the need for the bone to be able to lift a lot of weight. So other things too, and that of course, by the way, turns into good medications for us down on Earth. But those types of avenues are explored, and that's why one of the reasons why we have long duration trips to the space station, so we can see how well the body handles. Because a trip to Mars, even at the quickest route, is still I think about 8 months long.
And I guess a couple other things: whether or not the computers can handle the high radiation in space. The reentry system will get a workout as well?
All of that stuff is going to be tested on the flight tomorrow, how well the onboard computers hold up and all the technology that is on board, and also the heat shield, you know, the heat shield on the bottom of the craft that protects it as it reenters the atmosphere, because it does crash down into the ocean the way the old Apollo and Mercury and Gemini crafts used to do. And so it needs to, that heat shield needs to withhold a very large piece of spacecraft to go through the atmosphere. So we'll also get a good idea how well that's doing tomorrow.
Evan, final thought here. The feeling of pride, we covered it earlier, but I just can't ask you to express it enough, what's going on there with this big news in NASA.
Well, I mean, it's for a lot of people, this is, a culmination of years, if not a decade or so, worth of work. It is also a source of pride for the people who live in the Cape Canaveral area. That's the home of our very visible space product and space program. And there are launches that go on all the time from the Kennedy Space Center and other locations around the country. And if not the Kennedy Space Center itself, then Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. So, but they don't get a lot of press. Because, you know, they're often smaller rockets with small payloads, either private or governmental, and there's no, people are not on it, so they don't get a lot of press, but it's going on all the time. But this is something that, again, is going to carry people on a taxpayer-owned and operated vessel, so very similar to, you know, having an impressive aircraft carrier or something like that. So there's a lot of pride in it.
Evan, we appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it.
Evan Brown joining us, Fox News Radio. You're listening to 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
That was Eric Holder many years ago, the Attorney General, talking about brainwashing people against guns. We're currently talking about this case in Middleton where authorities issued a warning to parents and students today saying don't bring toy guns to school. We have a elementary school kid who was suspended for doing that. 18 police officers from the Canyon County Sheriff's Office responded to that situation. To the pride of Raleigh, North Carolina, via Eagle, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to back up to a point where I think they should have used much less authoritarian approach. I have to put the responsibility for this overreaction on the administration and secondarily on the police, because all they should have really needed to do was have the person who the small child told he saw a gun ask enough details to ascertain the size and potential classroom location of the kid that had the gun or the toy gun. And go to each class, the principal then would be in charge and go to each class where this kid could be and ask the teacher to step outside and then have her go back inside and say, did anyone need to know something, no real problem, did anybody happen to bring a toy gun to school today? And if the kid's hand doesn't go up, you say, just raise your hand, no problem. And if he did, you say, well, will you step outside with me for a moment? Don't bring your bags or anything, just come on. And you bring him outside, and then you find out and where the gun is, and it's over with. That, you do that one room at a time, that's all that needed to be done. Nobody was out of control until the unprepared administration took extremely excessive anti-constitutional methods to push this, to bringing in a bunch of troops who were police. It's all totally ridiculous. And this, what I just described would be the way it would have been handled 30 years and farther back when I was in school in the 50s and the grammar grades.
I'm with you, but what would have happened if it was a real gun, Jerry? Do you believe at 580KIDO that if it's a real gun, that's how the police should have responded?
Oh, the other point is if nobody acknowledges having a toy gun at that point, the principal should already have a tentative response to go to the next level, but not even close to the level that they went to, because it needed to be handled administratively and with the security person or the person, policeman, who's assigned to that area, and target where they think the gun is and not just come in right with an 18. That was probably enough to cover almost every class in half the class in the school.
Jerry, great point. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania, with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, now that it hits close to home, I guess we're going to see what the populace will do. You know, we have an opportunity here for education. Excuse me. I say it's time for a class assembly, children. You know, firearms, that's part of our American heritage. That's part of our Constitution. Let's understand this for what it is. However, you know, in the safety of all, until someone's been properly trained, should they be carrying a firearm? I mean, there's so many ways we could go with this and we could make this positive. But, you know, we're going to have those that are emotionally charged in at the school. This shouldn't be, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have those that have common sense that are going to, just like the old Republican Guard, are going to stand back on the side and say, well, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, all they should have done was this and all they should have done was that. You know, we're not going to get the right people involved again. But we do need to get the kids engaged. We do need to tell them, children, this is okay. But there are standards that we live by. One is we have the fear of other. You know, there's so many places we could go with this. We're going to blow an opportunity.
Well, did the police do the right thing or not?
Well, you know, if my child were there, would I want the police in there looking for a weapon? Yes, I would want the police in there looking for a weapon. Was I there? Did they traumatize the young man, or did they handle it? You know, how did they handle it? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But certainly, if there was a weapon there, and
should the kid have been suspended for bringing a toy gun to school?
Absolutely not. What written rule said that? He, you know, it's a toy. He's had the freedom to play with that toy ever since he's owned it. He takes it to school. He's probably going to show it to his buddies. Oh, come on.
Well, you remember when we went to school, I mean, people played cops and robbers and cowboys and Indians.
All the time. Boys were designed by God. We were created to be the hero. We all want to be a hero. We want to rescue the damsel in distress. We want to root out the bad guys. Let's not destroy the young man, you know, and the very essence of who he is. Suspend them for taking a toy gun to school. Overreach, overreaction. And, you know, what's going to happen now? Now we're going to have the administration that is responsible for this defending their own wrong. Rather than stepping forward and say, you know, we might have blown it on this. Maybe we did overreact.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, Terry, are going to say better safe than sorry.
Well, and I don't argue. Better safe than sorry was to bring law enforcement in to find out whether this is a real weapon or not. But to traumatize the child and to have him the rest of his life thinking a gun is a bad thing, I can't have it around people. Here we go. Sounds like the liberal agenda to me.
Well,
okay,
Terry,
I feel better.
All right, Terry, God bless you.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to traffic at 580.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And 39 in Eagle, Idaho, Kevin Miller in the morning. We do want to remind you to go to 580KIDO.com. Some great deals with the Save the Deal online auction. If you're looking for doggy, night care, daycare, some massages. How it works is you go online, you see the retail value of it, and then you make a bid on it. And you go back and forth, and when the items close from our great supporters here at 580KIDO and other radio stations in the Town Square media family here in Boise, and if you win, you get it, let's say, a $500 retail value. You might get something for $200 or $300 or even less. That's at 580KIDO.com. Just go to our online auction section on the trending bar and look at Seize the Deal. Always some great deals there, and if you can save some bucks and get some good things, sounds good to me. And let me see. Coming up, we'll hear from the folks in Middleton. They've decided to give us a call, and they're very concerned about what's going on here. So we will hear from the Middleton School District at 8:05, currently 39 in Caldwell with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Let's get you to... Kevin Miller in the morning. Hey, if you're looking for something to do Friday night, join us at the Idaho Chooses Life Christmas dinner and auction. Kent Corbett will be there. I'll be there. Congressman Trent Franks will be there. And we look forward to that. That's at Eagle Christian Church, idahochooseslife.org. for more information.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.